want to say this to you as we get started into the message. Neither does the Lord. Find for me the example in the Bible where someone said, Lord, I'll go. And God said, you're not the one I had in mind. Find the example in the Bible where somebody said, I volunteer. And God said, you don't quite, you know, you're not the one we were looking at. It's just, they're not there. God is, it's the other side of the equation, right? The Bible says that God sought for a man, and it's more likely that he found none. That's more likely in our society than it is for God to have to be turning people away. And that's what I want us to look at. Joshua comes to the end of the book of Joshua, and Joshua looks at the children of Israel, and he says, choose ye this day. Right? You know this verse. Most of you have it hanging in your house probably someplace. Whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? We will serve the Lord. It's a choice. It's coming to a place in your life where you simply choose a direction. Serving God is not an accident. You don't stumble into serving God. Now, you might have been volunteered. You know, I'm doing something. I don't know how I ever got on that list, Pastor, but I'm on it. Okay, I understand how that works. But, you know, serving God is a choice that you make. It is you and I saying, I'm going to choose to serve God, and I'm going to go this direction. I really appreciated the song service because it was pointing out to us again and again the joy that comes with that. I am so tired of a Christianity that is a burden to people. Don't you agree? The Christianity ought not to be a burden to God's people. There is joy in serving Jesus, as the song says, and as the Bible teaches. There really is joy in serving Jesus. You will not find a better use of your time than the things that are represented on these things that you can sign up for. When you're done, you will have accomplished something that is meaningful for more than just a day or a moment, but for eternity. And when you're done, while you may be exhausted and you may be frustrated by some things, you will find a joy that you cannot find any other way in your life. So we've spent this last 2 months trying to get you ready for this kind of moment right here. But the idea has not been to burden you with it, but to give you an opportunity to serve God in a very unique way and to know the joy that comes with it. Jesus said that his servants serve for one reason. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the driving force of service. Nehemiah was, you know the story of Nehemiah. He was a slave and a servant to the king, and he found out that Jerusalem was in disarray, and so he's sad and burdened by that, the fact that things aren't going on. If we could kind of think about this as Christianity for a moment, things aren't happening in Christendom like they should be, and it's a burden to Nehemiah's heart. And so he's sad and struggling, and the king sees him and says, Nehemiah, what's the problem? And Nehemiah says, you know, how can I have joy? How can I have contentment? How can I have all these things that the Bible, that God wants me to have, when my city is in ruins, when the city of my people is in ruins, when, you know, Christianity as a whole has become a burden rather than the joy that God intends it to be. And so the king, who's not a Christian, the king, who's not a servant of God, says, well, what can I do to help? And Nehemiah prays, and Nehemiah just puts it out there. Well, you could give me time off. Oh, and by the way, with pay. And I don't have any money to go build, you know, the wall, but if you could give me the stuff to build the wall with and maybe send some people along with me. Man, Nehemiah just put it all out there. And the king says, yeah, I don't see any problem with that. And he goes. And the next thing you see in Nehemiah chapter 3 is Nehemiah saying to the people, let us rise up and build. And that's what we've been saying for the last 2 months here. It's that moment. How do you get to the moment where you say, okay, let's cross the line. Let's join the charge. Let's move forward. Let's choose this day to serve the Lord. How do we get to that point? That's in Isaiah chapter 6. Let's look at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Father, we ask that you would help us to, now as we gather ourselves to this point, this decision point for many of a choosing to serve, to throw our lives into something that's meaningful and lasting, into something that's going to make a difference. God, I pray that you prepare our hearts. God, show us how we might cross that line. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go down, if you would, please, to verse 5. It says, I'm sorry, verse 8. It says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Let me ask you this quick question. This is not a new message. You've heard me preach this message. You've heard this message preached by your, you know, other pastor friends and preacher friends and probably your youth pastor and your camp counselor. That's how many times this message is preached, this passage is preached from. But let me ask you this question, verse 8. Who is God talking to? It says, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom will go for us? Whom shall we send and whom will go for us?" Who is God talking to? Say it out loud, good and loud. God is talking to himself. God does not sit around in heaven and ask advice of the angels. Do you understand how this works? God, the all-knowing, all-wise God of heaven, is not saying, "Wow, I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to do here. What do you think?" That's not what's happening in this scenario. What has happened is that Isaiah has uniquely positioned himself to be able to overhear God talking to himself. Have you ever had someone catch you talking to yourself? Yeah. Most of us do. Usually that happens someplace where we feel very, very comfortable to do that, like at home. You know, most of us aren't wandering the halls of the church on Sunday mornings mumbling to ourselves. Some of you are, and we need to talk after church. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, most of you aren't doing that. It's that, you know, but when we're someplace where we just feel very comfortable and we just start talking to ourselves. In the car, I'm really bad about that in the car, you know. I love talking to myself. I'm the only one I can get to listen to myself most of the time, is it? But, yeah, I do. I talk to myself a lot. I'm just honest about it. So, but Isaiah has positioned himself uniquely to be able to overhear a conversation that few other people would ever overhear. And that's God talking to himself. How did Isaiah get there? That's where I want to look. Because if you and I could get ourselves there this morning, where we are so close to God, that we are overhearing conversations that would otherwise go unheard, where God and the Son and the Spirit are talking to one another. Because what happens at the end of this verse, when Isaiah overhears this conversation, he says, "Here am I. I choose this day to cross a line. I choose this day a direction for my life. Here am I. Send me." We'll go back to verse 1. And let's walk ourselves through how Isaiah gets to that point. It says in verse 1, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." We talked today in song about the blood of Christ. We talked today in song about the joy of serving the Lord. We talk today in song about how good God is to us. The choir sang about how good God is to us. That what we have, the Savior we have, and the God we have loves us so much that we need to elevate everything we know about God so that we recognize that if we follow this high and lofty one, this one who is lifted up in our lives as the most important one in our lives. When we get to the place where God is high and lifted up, rather than by priority someplace down here, well, first, is I get to make my money, and then I get to spend my free time, and then I get to play my sports, and then I get, and then, oh, if I get time for God, and we will never reach the place where Isaiah was, where he overheard this conversation, until we elevate the Lord in our lives, see the Lord high and lifted up. Go on. In verse 2, it says, excuse me, above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, and here's the next thing that Isaiah began to realize about God. Holy, holy, holy. To be overwhelmed with the holiness of God. We live in a society that is, we've redefined holiness as one step above where our comfort level is. And that's how we decide what's holy. That's how we determine how we spend our money and spend our free time. Because, well, you know, I'm not so bad and holy is right here. But Isaiah came to a place where he recognized that God was holier than he'd ever imagined before. He wasn't just holy. And he wasn't just holy, holy. He was holy, holy. Holy is the Lord of hosts. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And he began to recognize that because God is so holy, he saw something about himself. And folks, when you and I will get into an understanding of where we are in relation to who God is, it will change our lives. The Apostle Paul reached that when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death? The higher, the more holy we see God, the more we recognize how unworthy we are. How dare we march ourselves into God's house today as if we are doing God a favor by setting aside an hour. What we should be doing is crawling in here, recognizing that we are not worthy to stand in this place before a holy God. As we see him high and lifted up, we begin to see ourselves for what we are. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. And he recognizes how unworthy he is. I do not stand before you as a pastor because I've done anything special, but because of the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto your pastor. And I know, you know, many of you know, how desperately and woefully short I come of the kind of pastor that you deserve. But none of us serve the Lord because we deserve it. And Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he saw the Lord holy, and he began to see himself for what he was. And Isaiah allowed God to do what only God can do. Isaiah did not say to the Lord, let me clean up my life, God, and I'll come back and I'll serve you. Isaiah did not say to the Lord, Lord, let me get some things straightened out and I'll come back and then I promise I'm going to serve you. That's not the way it worked. Isaiah could do nothing to make himself worthy before a high and holy God. And all he could do was allow God to do for him what he could not do for himself. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can make us worthy to stand before God. And so while just a few minutes before, Isaiah finds himself on his face before a holy God saying, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. God cleanses Isaiah. Look at the story. And the next thing you see is Isaiah coming boldly to the throne of grace and there to find grace to help in time of need. Southeast Baptist, this is where we are. We don't sign up to serve because the church needs us. That's not the case. We don't sign up to serve because we have something special to offer. That's not the case. We come as unworthy, wretched men and women, not able to hold up our heads before a holy and high and lifted up God. And we allow Him to touch us and to cleanse us and to prepare us. And the next thing, Isaiah is standing boldly in the throne of grace. And he overhears a conversation saying, who will we send? And I imagine, this is just me. I can't prove this from this passage, right? This is the way I imagine it. I imagine this conversation is much like our conversation right now. That this isn't just Isaiah overhearing a conversation. If you've ever worked with little kids, Children's Church, I love working with kids. I'm not that good at it, but I love it. And here's the fun part about it. You're standing, my Bible class, we teach a chapel every other week at Suburban Christian School. And so we teach this chapel. Well, it's about 100 elementary kids. And I work for the 2 weeks in getting one of my guys ready to preach a sermon. Some of the kids ready to lead some singing, some of them ready to, you know, have a game ready and that kind of stuff. It's a lot of fun. So we get ready. But here's what I've noticed. I've noticed it for years. You stand up in front of 100 kids and you say, I need a volunteer. What happens? Every teacher, it's like, they know what happened. Every hand goes up. Here's the funny part. I haven't said what I want them to do. I haven't, you know, all I've just said is, I need a volunteer. And the kids are begging, please, please, please pick me. They're jumping up out of their seats, oh, 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 making all kinds of noise. And in your pastor's imagination, this is what I see happening in Isaiah 6. We sometimes think that it's like this, that God in heaven has this conversation overheard by some congregation that says, who are we going to send? And everybody kind of sits there, and finally Isaiah goes, I guess I'll go for you, Lord, because we feel so sorry for the Lord, can't get anybody to go. I think that's what we feel like sometimes. But that's not the imagine. That's what I see here in this picture. What I see is that some people have gotten close to God. So here's this room full of people who have walked into the throne room of God, and they've overheard this conversation, and God says, I need a volunteer. And 100 hands go up in the air, and they're saying, please, please, pick me, pick me. I want to be the one. Pick me. Send me. Because God's touched me. And I've lifted Him up. And I've seen His holiness. And I know that there's nothing better I could do with my life than to serve my Savior. Here am I. Send me. And folks, that's what we're looking for. Southeast Baptist isn't standing here hat in hand saying, please, please, how are we going to go forward? But what we're saying is that God in heaven has opened up a door of opportunity for everyone who will, like Joshua of old, choose this day whom you will serve. Who will it be? You will not be sorry. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I can squeeze one more thing into my schedule. And I'm just telling you, you will not be sorry for making this choice. The joy that comes in serving Jesus, in walking close to God and knowing God's love and compassion and care for your life, can only be known by the step taken closer, entering into that holy of holies to hear the conversation. Who we serve. I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.